Amen. The emblem of suffering and shame. Amen. Amen. We bring you greetings once again today. Thank God for letting us be here. I'm going to go right ahead and get you into a continuing portion of scripture that we feel is something needed. As we continue in our studies for the year, living a year without fear, we've been talking about constructions that God has given and tools and things that he has made available so that you don't have to be fearful. We talked about giving you armor against fear and things of this sort, which come from God's word. I'm thinking about Isaiah at the moment when he says that basically, he said, the one who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He said, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my strength, my buckler and my shield, and in him will I trust. Amen. This is where you have to be in your mind when you want to deal with the content of this world and everyday life separated from fear.
Okay.
And we talked about tools, the truth being a tool that God can give you in order to get you squared away to the fact that you don't have to fear as others that have no hope. And so primarily we want to continue in that entire vein of thinking, because there are some situations that you will have to deal with in life, just as I do. And we want to talk about some things to strengthen you. Another thing, some of the things we talked about are external from your body and from your mind, and some things are internal. Sometimes the fear and the pressures that you have come from within. And we use words like anxiety, which we're going to talk about today, to talk about that internal struggle within your own mind. And we have some things to strengthen you here from God's word in that area as well. So we're going to go right ahead, and I'm going to ask for a reading of the book of Habakkuk, the prophet. That's one of those you scarcely run into back there. Unless you're a really deep, serious, avid Bible scholar, you may not be too familiar with the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk, some people like to say. I call it Habakkuk. And we're going to take a look at Habakkuk here in the chapter 3, which is the final chapter in that book of Habakkuk. And we're going to get some thoughts from that prophet, as well as our Lord himself, Jesus the Messiah, in his famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, just a few excerpts from that in the New Testament. So I'm going to ask you now to give attention to the reading of the word. Amen.
Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation.
Yes.
The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places, to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's from the song and the prayer of Habakkuk. Amen. Now for the New Testament scripture reading.
Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. And are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for remnant? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these.
Yes.
Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, yes, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven,
mm-hmm,
shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?
My, my.
Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what will shall we be clothed?
Yes.
For after all these things do to the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things.
Oh, yes.
But seek ye first the kingdom,
yes,
of God,
yes,
and his righteousness,
oh,
and all these things shall be added unto you.
Yes.
Take therefore no thought for the morrow.
Yes.
For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself.
Yes.
Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof.
Amen. Amen. You heard the word of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. From Jesus himself. May God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his holy word. Amen. You may be seated in the sanctuary. And we're going to use for a topic for today's message, truth over anxiety equals peace. Now this sounds like a mathematical equation. So you can look at it that way. Truth over anxiety
equals
peace.
Yeah, I like that.
Amen. That's kind of like Einstein said, E equals MC squared. Well, we have a quotient here for you today. Truth over anxiety equals peace.
Yeah.
Amen. So I just wanted to talk about that. That anxiety that you and I have about life. I believe it can be a device of the flesh. It can be a device of the devil.
Yeah.
It can be a device of the world.
Yeah.
But you have to rely on truth.
That's right.
What the body says or how the mind thinks a thing will turn out is not necessarily how it will turn out. There are some things that God has said that he has implanted in your life to give you perseverance above and beyond some of the things that the world seems to be indicating, or even that you may think your own self. So sometimes anxiety and pressure comes from internal conflict or internal worry, where you may think that for some reason this thing that you're concerned about is going to be overwhelming,
uh-huh,
and you worry about it. Or if it's just something you don't know, just the unknown, how will things be past a certain point?
Yeah.
Those are the kind of things that fuel anxiety, internal, yes, pressure and worry within the mind. And so what Jesus said, he saw his disciples fidgeting there a little bit with worry. They were concerned because they had walked away from their jobs. They were following him everywhere he went. People were saying bad things about them, talking about them. Well, look at these people. They quit their job and they followed after that strange Jesus and all of that. And so there were a lot of different things, some external, some internal, creating pressure and anxiety on their life. But this is not a new thing. This is what I want you to see. The people of God have always had to have an internal guide by God's Spirit in his word,
yes,
that will give them peace,
yes,
even when there is times of anxiety and pressure in life. Now, we already mentioned during our prayer, Isaiah said that he will give perfect peace to those whose mind is stayed on him. So if we can keep our mind on the fact that God loved us,
oh, yes,
so much that he gave his son, and then he didn't have to just do that historically. He wrote it down. It's in the book. The prophets give us the information that God had planned to provide covering and salvation. Salvation is not just for when you die. Salvation is even more for while you're yet alive.
Yeah.
And it's going to usher you into a situation, we've been talking about this in the whole series, where you don't have to worry about death. Death has been dealt with. That's why Jesus came and defeated even the grave and death, in order to give you power and authority over those things so that you can live a life in comfort and in peace. Now, back in the Old Testament, I'm going to back up just a little to get us on point with our message here. We see that Habakkuk the prophet, we mentioned him. He was living at a time when Israel was disobedient. They had not obeyed God. They turned away and did whatever they wanted. They fell into the same traps that we're talking about. They were motivated from within, and we're slipping behind, and the Gentiles are getting ahead of us. They're beating us, doing things, and they have more properties, and they're amassing more wealth, and they have more popularity. They have more notoriety than we do. And so they began to make some of the same errors, slipped into some of the traps that were set by the devil. And next thing you know, they were not doing what God told them to do. Their peace and their fortress was not with God. They didn't trust in him anymore. They began to do things like, for example, God said, work so many days, 6 days shalt you labor, but the seventh day shall be a Sabbath, a rest.
Right.
Before the Lord your God. He said, don't work yourself so much. What they were seeing, they stopped to rest and look and see everybody else working, looking like they're getting ahead of me. And they go on and cut out God's plan out of their regular course of life. So they put that to the back burner. God said, rest your fields every 7 years. And they saw the people who didn't know or believe God continuing to plant, reap, and sow. You see what I'm saying? They were sowing and planting and reaping and doing everything. Say, oh, they're getting ahead of us. They're a year ahead of us because we're not planting this year. And so that's the kind of thing where God said, you just rest, because you know what? God made the earth. He knows how that dirt works. He knows how seeds work. He knows that if you wait a year, the soil will replenish and you'll get more crops.
Amen.
In the coming year. And not only that, but God said, I promise you in the sixth year, I'll give you enough to last you through the sabbatical year into the next year until time of harvest. You see, so God understood it because he made it. And so when other people abuse it, and the children of God see them abusing it, it looks like they're getting ahead. You know what? They aren't getting ahead. They're actually slipping behind. And you will be better off if you just understand, I'm going to do what God said. It doesn't make any difference what I see, what I hear, how it appears to me. Because God is going to come out on top. He's told me the truth. And basically, I'm going to learn to walk there. But the children of Israel, the covenant people, failed to do that. Habakkuk started to see the decline. The northern kingdom had already been taken into captivity, had fallen apart, and many of them ran back to the southern kingdom, where there was only Judah and Benjamin still there in the place right around Jerusalem where God told them to remain. And so basically the refugees that you hear about today, that's people who come running when there's a war and they run into a safe place. They come for safekeeping into another place. 10 of the tribes from the north had been smitten with war by Assyria. And then the ones of them who could get away ran back where they should have been in the first place.
Right.
Back down to Jerusalem. And so they had a lot of negative things going on down there. They began to add that corruption that they had practiced for years in the northern kingdom into the southern kingdom. Next thing you know, God said, okay, well, I will take even the southern kingdom into captivity.
Wow.
And so he set up the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, to come in and wipe out his own people. He had given the prophets a word that I'm going to send in judgment. And when they come, I'm still going to preserve a remnant and keep my plan going, even though judgment is coming. And so it seems crazy when we see judgment and different stuff coming. Some of us get fearful. But God always maintains a remnant. In other words, there's a few people in the whole group that believe God no matter what they see, no matter what they hear.
Amen.
They trust God and they're going to wait on the Lord no matter what. Now, maybe you've had a situation in your life where God gave you an internal confidence. Stuff doesn't look so good here the way this is going. Looks like this is going to be a difficult one to get past. But yet God gave you an internal confidence that you are going to make it.
Amen.
You don't have to worry about it. I got you covered. You just keep moving forward in my name.
Yeah.
And you're going to find out that I give you everything that you need to make it.
Amen.
You're not going to be short of anything. Right. God says, I'm going to protect you, keep you, and I'm molding you and shaping you. And the whole world can be against you, but they ain't better than me. So I'm going to carry you through.
Yeah.
And so this is the way you have to be. You have to realize now. And Habakkuk looked around and saw the judgment coming on the people around him. He said, hey, Lord, what's going on? You promised us a kingdom. And he began to give out complaints. Read the rest of the book when you get time. And God says, you know what, Habakkuk, I'm doing something that you wouldn't even understand if I told you. I got something going on a level that would blow your mind if I just told you. He said, I'm using those people who look like they're the enemy to get my will done.
Yeah, yeah.
They're going to do just what I want them to do.
Yeah.
You know what? Does that sound like anybody you know? You might be fearful about folks who recently have been elected into office.
Yeah.
Oh, they threatening you. They're going to do this, that, and the other. We're going to rearrange your world and all of this.
Yeah.
You know. But you know what? God is using you.
Yeah.
That's right.
You don't understand. You might be coming against me, but you don't know what God has got up the road for you.
Oh.
You see, and so you need to remember that no matter who's there, no matter what they're doing, no matter what policies are coming down from those authorities, God is the one who seats governments.
Right.
He raises them up, and guess what else? He takes them down. They only stand as long as he allows them to stand.
Right.
That's been out through the entirety of history. In fact, human government was God's idea.
Yes, it was.
He came up with human government all the way back in Genesis chapter 9.
Yeah.
And it's going to go on until the very end of time. There will be a human government until the Bible says that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall rule and reign forever and ever. See, and there's going to be a law going forth out of Zion, that little bit of land over there that's so much of a heavy burden in the world. God says, you think it's nothing, but I'm going to show you, because I'm going to blow your mind. Well, Habakkuk got a little glimpse of that, and he had to go back and pray and seek God's face. And he said, you know what? This is his resolve, is what we have here in this third chapter, verse 17. I recommend you read the whole book when you get a chance. It's an awesome little book.
Yes.
Few chapters, short read. But Habakkuk had to get to the point when God explained to him what he was doing. He says, although the fig tree shall not blossom. Lord, that never had happened in his whole life that he looked and saw a fig tree that had not blossomed. Neither shall there be fruit in the vine. It had been very much fruit. The labor of the olive tree shall fail, and the field shall yield no more meat, and the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stall. He said, I don't care how desolate it looks, when nothing that normally works is working all around me. Doesn't make any difference how desolate it looks. There's no figs, no fruits. No herds in the stall. It's looking pretty bad, isn't it? He said, verse 18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. I don't care how it looks. I don't care who's storming the streets and complaining and what Washington is doing and what they're cutting on and what they're cutting off. Cut on and off whatever you like. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord of my salvation. I'm going to trust God no matter what's going on. Habakkuk got strong. Then he said, the Lord my God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon the high places. And basically, in other words, somebody else might feel like they're about to slip and fall, but God is going to make my feet like those hinds. Those are little animals that can walk upon the mountaintops, and they can jump from heap to heap, from hill to hill, and never lose their footing. He said, he's going to give me a sure foot in the midst of trouble. And so you and I, to put out basically anxiety, truth must reign over anxiety.
Yeah.
You know what happens when you put truth over anxiety? It equals peace. That's our calculation here today. You want peace? Remember the truth in the midst of anxiety. Remember the truth when stuff looks like it's not coming my way. When it looks like something I've been counting on is cutting me out. Look for the truth that God said, I got your back. I got you covered. That if you walk in my way, that you will never have to worry about anything. Think about what the other saints said. David said, I was young and now I'm old. And I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. They never seen it in my lifetime. See, and don't make no difference who's up there in the White House, the Kremlin name somewhere. It makes no difference. Because he said, God said, I'm no respecter of person. Now, Jesus was trying to get that across to his disciples. He called them away from their jobs, their normal way of life. They were doing a new thing, going about being disciples, learners of Christ. He had come on the scene, had been pronounced the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. So they're thinking he's coming right now to shut these Romans down, and we're going to be in charge. We're going to finally finally get to rule and reign on earth. You know what? Jesus hadn't come for that.
That's right.
He had another plan. His plan was deeper than just fixing it for you right now.
Yeah.
Even though you've been under Gentile dominion.
Yeah.
And that is coming, but it's not right now. They didn't know the timetable. You know what? I want to tell you something. You don't need to know the timetable. God has his own timetable. And he's moving in it. And it's not even 1 second out of sync. Everything he's doing is right on time. He has not missed a stroke.
Thank you.
And if you're his child, you're in the midst of it.
Yeah.
He hadn't forgotten you.
Yeah.
He loves you right where you are.
Yeah.
But sometimes we don't learn what we need until affliction comes. That's why Paul said, tribulation worketh patience.
Yeah.
And patience hope. So you and I sometimes have to go through things.
Yes.
Jesus said this to his disciples in the midst of one of their little pity parties where they were being anxious about what kind of thing was going on. He said, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Don't be worried about your life. This word means don't rehearse in your mind again and again about this negative thing. Sometimes we let a negative thought get in our head and it circulates like a tape loop.
Yes,
it's going around and around and around. And every time it comes around again, oh, we feel bad. But that's what this word, take no thought. That's a word, amarimnos in the Greek. It means not to complete rehearsing your memory again and again. Don't let it get in your mind and thwart what I'm telling you I'm going to do for you. He said, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, or yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not life, he noticed this now, I want you to see this, I want to let this go by too fast. Is not the life more than meat? He's not talking about just life, he says the life. Is not the life more than meat? Isn't it more than just what you eat? You see that? And the body, you see that? The life and the body. Is it not the body than raiment? Isn't it more important the body than the clothes you wrap on it? Look at all the trouble and confusion we have in schools because, oh, you don't have a pair of Jordan shoes, and I do. Or back and forth, kids worry about that stuff. You know what? But life is more. The life is more than food, and the body than raiment. You know, you couldn't make a foot. You might be able to make a shoe, but you can't make a foot. Now, you can't make a toenail, much less that. So a shoe to put on it, that's a small thing.
All right.
Now behold, he says, the fowls of the air, Jesus calls up some witnesses. I got witnesses everywhere. Behold the birds of the air, for they sow not, they're not planting anything. Neither do they reap, they're not harvesting anything. Yet, he said, neither are they gathering in the barns. They're not even stockpiling stuff like we do. Check them out. They're flying around, they're free. They don't plant nothing. They don't harvest anything. They don't store up anything. What does that mean? That means every day I get up, I can sing a praise to God and fly out and find what I need. It's right out there. That's all they do. They get up in the morning, praise the Lord, and then they go out and they find what they need. That's what happens. They don't worry about it. They don't sow. They don't reap. They don't gather in the barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Wow. Think about that. Which of you by being concerned or anxious, we could say, taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? How can you change your life at all by the way you worry about stuff? Who can change your life just by sitting and worrying?
Yeah.
You know what? If anything, worrying is going to waste your time.
Yes, it will.
Because you could get up and do something productive. God feeds the birds, but they don't sit there in the tree and open up their mouth and say, feed me, Lord. Lord, drop worms down on them. No, they get up and they hustle.
Yeah.
They go out and find what they need, but they know it's out there. I just got to get to it.
Because
my Father's got it for me. I just got to go get it.
That's it.
It's out there. I'm not going to sit here in the nest and wait. The little babies do because they don't know anything. Better, but maybe this is a word for somebody. You might be a little baby, you've been waiting, and somebody's been bringing you food, but it's time for you to stretch your wings and get out there and find what God put out there for you. He says, why take ye thought for raiment? Talking about clothes. Consider the lilies of the field. Look at the plants and the flowers and all that stuff, how they grow. They toil not. They're not working, they just sit there and are beautiful because God made them that way. You know what? You are too. God made you the way you are. You're beautiful. You don't have to dress it up with anything special to be beautiful. You're beautiful right now. God made you that way. See? And so he says, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. They ain't making no fabrics and clothes and twisting anything. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, and Solomon was the most decked out dude that ever lived, probably, was not arrayed like one of these. He didn't look as good as the petal of a flower or a rose. He ain't got nothing on this lily, and the you know, flowers are amazing things. I'm always amazed at the beauty of stuff that grows that God makes. You don't even have to bother. You couldn't even tell us, how does that happen? How does that thing, that bulb bust open into a big pretty thing like that? And it knows just what to do. See, so God has got it under control. That's the thing you need to understand. He says, Solomon, he went to the most exaggerated example of a human being dressing of any that you could ever find. He had garments that were woven with silk and gold thread going through it. He still was not arrayed like one of these flowers of the field. Wherefore, he said, God, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, it only lives a short time, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? That's one of five times in the New Testament that Jesus says to his disciples, O ye of little faith, don't you believe who I am and what I'm here for? Don't you know I love you?
Yes.
Don't you know I came to make a sacrifice for you, to cover you for everything you need? Don't you know you don't need to worry about a thing? Stevie Wonder didn't come up with that. Jesus did.
Yes, he did.
Don't you worry about a thing.
Amen.
But they were worried. They were sitting back there wondering, how are we gonna, he told us to feed all these people, how are we going to do it? You don't know who you're dealing with. You're dealing with God. One of them finally said, well, here's a little boy's lunch, Lord. But it's not enough for everybody. And Jesus broke it up and fed everybody, didn't he?
Uh-huh.
So he got a way to feed you. You just got to trust him. He's got what you need. You don't have to go running around looking for it. He'll make it available if you just trust him. So he says here, therefore, take no thought about what we shall eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed. Notice this, for after all these things, the Gentiles seek. Folk who don't know me are tripping like that. Not you, not my children.
Yeah!
For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all of these things. I know what you need. Just trust me. Don't go scurrying around and go rob nobody and all the kind of stuff people do. Because I don't have what I need. I got to go in Walmart. No, don't do that. I know what you need. I know exactly what you need. Trust me and I'll make sure you have what you need. Notice what he says. Here's the big deal. Verse 33. But seek ye. That means all of you. You know that ye means you all y'all, we would say today. First, put God first in your life. The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Whatever it is you need, God says, I'm going to add it to you. If you just seek me first. Don't worry about it. Oh, I had to miss church today because I need to go. No, you don't. Put God first. Come in and talk to him first. Call on his name. He said, if you seek me first and my righteousness, I got that other stuff. That's easy. Therefore, take no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. And sufficient unto the day is evil thereof. There's enough trouble today. Don't go load up your mind with, oh, what am I going to do in the morning? You know, don't do that. Don't do that. God said, I got you. The morning is good. Get up with Miss Olson, have a sip of coffee, and move on with your life. Go on out there and then take the world. I put it out there for you. You know, go to bed and get a good rest. Wake up in the morning knowing that I love you. And I got a way for you, but you just need to take a step of faith. God's children must always realize that as long as you belong to God, that he has your best interest in mind, he will always support the ones who are his and walk according to his commands. He's going to support you, regardless of any seemingly negative conditions which he may allow for a season or for a reason. You know, you might go through some stuff for a season.
Yep.
Or for a reason. And there is a reason if you're going through a season.
All right.
Whatever it is. God is teaching you something in that thing. That's why Paul said tribulation worketh patience.
Yes.
See, and he said, let patience have her perfect work, James said, that you may be entire, wanting nothing. You won't lack anything. Patience is working on you and is producing some good things in your life. Habakkuk, the prophet, experienced being in a situation where God was allowing the disobedient nation of Israel to be shaken and smitten by their enemies to the point that it looked like God was no longer assisting them. That's how it looked. It might look way worse in the next few days. I don't know. But I tell you what, God is not changing. He's not changing. If he is for you, he is more than the world against you.
Yes, he is.
And you don't have to worry about it, whatever you're going through. And he allowed the Chaldeans to render severe turmoil against the entire southern kingdom. He allowed it. You know what's so significant about the Chaldeans? That's Ur of the Chaldees. Who do we know came from there?
Abraham.
All right now. See, the originator, Abraham, the one he called out, he allowed that country, who I told you, get thee out of your country. He allowed that country to come and subdue them and take them into captivity. Took them back where they were from the beginning. Snatched you back to the beginning. Because you didn't listen to me. You didn't do what I said. Did that mean that the faithful people got hurt in that process? Absolutely not. God kept that remnant believing with faith. Even though he was judging the disobedient, he was blessing those who trusted him. So yes, there's going to be some rocking and some reeling and some shaking and some division and all that. But Jesus makes it clear that the fact that there is no reason to deal with excessive anxiety as long as we dedicate our lives to seek first our relationship with our Heavenly Father and allow the truth, which is the facts that God's Word says. You know what? You need to want to know what the Word says. It's not enough just to say, oh, you know, whatever. No, put the Word top of your list. I want to know what God says, because the Word is the truth.
That's it.
And this is going to override any internal fears or external threats or primary sources of depression. Those things are where you get depressed. You get to worrying about all that outside stuff. But God said, fill your mind with my Word. Come and seek me first. Let that be the priority in your life. I'm going to add everything else to you, whatever else you need. And so these anxieties or undesirable circumstances are out of personal control. That stuff, when you don't have control, you start to worry. Can I handle this? And any of these are either these are devices of the devil, the world, or the flesh. So fulfilling our equation, truth over anxiety equals peace. If you continue to trust God, put that over your anxieties and the pressures, wherever they come from, and God will give you peace.
Oh, yes, he will.
He wants you to have the peace of knowing that you're saved, first of all.
Yes, I love.
And all that is realize that he gave his son. Jesus Christ came into the world to be crucified, to give whoever. It doesn't make any difference. Some people think, oh, you know, I'm too bad. I've fallen too far away from God for him to ever say. No, that's not so.
Amen.
That's the flesh. That's the world. That's the devil.
Amen.
Trying to keep you out of God's best blessing.
Mm-hmm.
He gave Jesus and put him in the middle of time for you. So you can come to him and say, I love you, Lord, because you love me this much.
Yes.
That's why John 3:16 is about love, the love of God.
All about love.
Said God so loved what?
The world.
That he gave his only begotten son.
Yes.
That whosoever, you don't ever have to worry about God lying to you.
Never.
Doesn't make any difference who you are.
Right.
These people talking about all these making churches to accommodate their sin. Why? Don't you know God loves you, gave his son to die for your sin,
right,
to pay the bill so you don't have to be entangled and hung up in it?
That's right.
But he accepts you no matter where you are. Whatever you're going through in your life doesn't make any difference.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't make any difference how long you've been in it, how long you've been stuck.
Mm-hmm.
We have people here, and I'll just go on record. The church is people who realize I got issues.
Right.
That's right.
I'm stuck. I got stuff that's not right.
Right.
But that shouldn't stop you from coming to God. That ought to drive you to God. Come on right now. Because God loves you just like you are. And he's going to give you what you need. He'll give you the tools to have peace and victory. You know what? When you come to God, no matter how you are, you get victory today. The very second you come to him and trust him. It's not a delayed process. I give you victory right now.
Right now.
That's why we sing that song, Victory is Mine. See, victory today. is mine. I get the victory right now. I don't have to wait.
Right.
Why? Because Jesus paid my bill entirely.
Right.
There's not one little cent or penny or any deficit that you owe. Everything you owe is paid in full. So if you're here today, let's stand. Why don't we stand in the sanctuary? If you're here today and you have never made that commitment to the Lord, do it right now. It'll be the very best thing you ever did. I can promise you it was the best thing I ever did, was to realize that God loved me and he would accept me just like I am.
Yes.
But you know what? He loved me so much, he's not leaving me the way I am, the way I was. I've gotten better.
Yes.
And I'm praying that he'll continue to get me better, and he promised that he would.
Amen.
So I release anxiety. I say, anxiety, get going. Because I got the truth. And the truth is making me free. Lord God, we bless you, we praise you, we exalt your name. Thank you for the truth, Lord, that you gave your son, Jesus Christ, said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. But whosoever comes in my name will be saved. So we come today, Father, asking you, save us, Lord. We need more salvation from ourselves than from the devil or the world. Save us from our own transgressions and things in our mind are not right. Wash us today, God. Cleanse us and make us whole. Thank you that you give holiness directly to the ones who believe in the name of your Son. This is a universal promise to every man, woman, boy, and girl. Whoever believes in the name of Jesus Christ shall be saved. And so, Father, we believe you raised him out the grave to show us that he alone has power to save. And so we thank you for that today. Everybody in the room is thanking you right now. Out of their spirit, we thank you right now, God. We thank you for salvation. Thank you for grace today, God. Thank you for amazing grace today, God. How sweet the sound to save the wretch like me. Thank you today, God, for the blood of Jesus, which was shed for our sin. Father, we give you praise today. We bless you today. Everybody inviting you into their life, Father, we know you will fill them right now with your Holy Spirit. Bless them that they can know that they're saved today. And teach us that truth over anxiety equals peace. Father, we love you, we praise you, we give you all the glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. And the whole church said together,
amen.
Give God a big hand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And if there's any here who would like to be members of St. Timothy MB Church, we give you that opportunity also at this time that you may come and let us know that you would like to study with us to be a disciple. Amen. We give you that opportunity. We invite you to come right now. Amen. You don't have to make any changes. If you trust in Jesus, it's done. Amen. We got to work on a song that the First Lady wrote called Delay Is Not Denial.
Amen.
Just because something doesn't come to you right now doesn't mean God said no.
Yes. Right?
He might be saying to you, wait, just wait, hold on. Because I'm setting it up. I'm setting it up, and in the right time, boom, it's going to come.
Amen.
It'll be there for you. Amen. Some things we don't need, everything we think we need. Sometimes we think we need, and we're not ready. But God knows exactly when that right moment is. Just like those plants, when they're coming up, they don't blossom until it's the perfect time. Then boom, next thing you know, it's just as beautiful. And it's like, if I didn't know that it was God, I might say, well, that's like magic. The way those petals bust open on those roses and different plants and things God made. But that's how your life's going to be. Your beautiful thing God has created, you will blossom in your time. So you just got to believe him and trust him. Amen. We have done as God commands. We see that there are none, yet there is room. Hope you got a good word from the message today.